Part 8, The Geometry of Non-Dualism. Tibetan mysticism, probably the best preserved understanding of non-dualism, teaches that the polarity of time arises from the experience of the polarity of consciousness. This also manifests as the polarity between subject and object, between consciousness and space-time. Akasha, the field of space-time, arises as an external experience of our innermost level of being, a ray of prana, the universal life force. In his book, The Foundations of Tibetan Mysticism, Lama Gobinda says, "In the highest sense, Akasha and prana cannot be separated, because they condition each other like above and below, or right and left. If this were not so, the interaction of body and mind, of spiritual and material forces, of matter and consciousness, sense organs and sense objects, etc., would be impossible. It is precisely this interaction of which the yogin makes use, and upon which the technique of meditation is built." End quote. At the root of the geometry of non-dualism is the phenomenon of polarity. Basically, it is a single reality with two polar opposite aspects. Like the concept of force, it is an ethereal reality. That is, it has no tangible physical reality that can be seen or touched. It can, however, have a very real effect on the physical world, and that effect can indeed be seen, felt, or otherwise experienced. Polarity is generally represented by a vector, which is represented by an arrow, a simple line segment with an arrowhead at one end, indicating that one end is the opposite of the other, or that it has a directional quality. It can have a specific length, representing the magnitude of a force, for example, but when used to represent the concept of polarity itself, the vector's length is arbitrary and meaningless. Polarity can also be represented by a plane perpendicular to the vector, the plane having two opposite sides. The physical body is actually on the object side of the plane of polarity. The body should be recognized as object in the same way that the entire physical body lays upon the surface of the past light cone in the space-time diagram. The polarity between consciousness and space-time is a spherical polarity. Whereas a single vector can represent a linear polarity, a spherical polarity, the polarity between a single point and the infinity around that point, must be represented by an infinite number of vectors. What is most important to understand about polarity is that it is a unifying principle. In physics and metaphysics both, the polarity underlying a duality is the more real level of reality. The polarity is there first, so to speak, and the separateness of the duality is a physical level experience of that polarity. Often the terms polarity and duality are used interchangeably, but there is an important metaphysical distinction. Time is our most fundamental experience of a polarity. The opposite poles are past and future, and the plane of polarity between these two fields is the ever-changing present. This is a good example of polarity not only unifying two poles, but also unifying a threefold experience. This is a very important point. The threefold time experience is a direct expression of the universal Trikaya, a single state of polarity with a twofold manifestation resulting in a threefold experience is key to understanding how the one reality builds the diversity of creation. The subject-object polarity shows us that, without the subjective side, there is no objective side. Both sides are necessary for creation to happen. This is not an easy idea to assimilate within the logic-oriented mind. How can the vastness and diversity of the universe exist only as an experience of consciousness? A good way to help grasp this is to consider a well-known thought experiment. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? with the definition of sound being that which an ear and brain detects, the answer is no. Yet the reality of what that sound would be, the compression waves moving through the air molecules, is still there just the same. Likewise, if we were not here to see the universe as the field of matter, energy, and space-time, it would not be out there as such. Yet the actual reality of what the universe is, the creative expression of a higher dimensional oneness, would not change in the slightest. An excellent meditation exercise in Jnana Yoga is to imagine the blackness of the infinity of space all around you, then realize that the experience of that infinite blackness is simply the reverse image of the white light force within you. These opposite extremes are a spherical polarity. The polarity inherent in the life force of spirit and in the experience of consciousness and space-time. Once again, Lama Govinda. The close association of space and consciousness can also be seen from the fact that in the higher stages of absorption, dhyana, the experience of the infinity of space immediately leads to the experience of the infinity of consciousness. After the elimination of all thing and form ideas or representations, space is a direct and intuitive object of consciousness. End quote. In fact, individual consciousness has a depth of extension equal to that of the universe itself. As incredible as this may seem, it is a metaphysical reality. The depth of space is a direct reflection of the magnitude of consciousness. How can we possibly think of the depth of space and the depth of consciousness as having equivalent magnitudes? One way is to think of the invisible axis of depth consciousness, invisible because that is what we see with, so to speak, as like viewing a line or vector end on, making it appear as a singularity. Or, perhaps more mind-blowing, you can think of the depth of space as being even shorter than the radius of an atom. Either way is as correct as the other. However, what is most accurate is to realize that any idea or experience of depth of extension in physical space is illusory, but is rather an experience of the force of consciousness. In reality, there is no actual space between anything. The experience of space and separateness is merely the external expression of the force of consciousness, the only real reality there is. The language of Sanskrit has two different words for the infinity of space. There is the word akasha, the experiential space of individual consciousness, already introduced, and there is the word tamas, referring to what would be conceptually understood to be a true absolute void. Akasha, recall, is not an absolute void. It is a space filled with force vectors manifesting as matter, energy, and space-time, as well as the apparent void between matter. In the same way that quanta create matter and energy, as well as the quantum foam that fills all of what we think of as empty space. The infinity of tamas, as the experience of nothingness from the perspective of universal consciousness, is indeed an absolute void. It is an absolute void by definition. From the perspective of all that is, the only sense of otherness is an absolute void. It is important to note that tamas is not something that exists independently of universal consciousness, in the same way that no void actually existed for the Big Bang to expand into. There is no space or time whatsoever at time equals zero of the Big Bang. These voids are a literal nothingness, a no-thingness, and only exist as a conceptual construct. A universal hypersphere provides a mechanism for quantum entanglement, the quantum foam of empty space, and even the idea of vibrating strings. The ring ray elements provide the geometric seed for the wave-particle duality, the space-like and time-like intervals at the Planck scale, and the light cone. Even the redshift of the galaxies and the cosmic microwave background radiation, could be understood to be the result of the overall spherical curvature of space, a manifestation of the omnipresent hypersphere of the universal superforce. From the perspective of the timeless universal hypersphere, the apparent physical expansion of the universe is illusory, just as the apparent depth of space is illusory. The geometry can also represent such metaphysical principles as the male and female movements of creation and the polarity of time and consciousness. Perhaps most interesting, he can also beautifully represent the nature of the Trikaya, the three-bodied unfoldment of creation from the one reality. The first body of the Trikaya is the central singularity, with the second body being the infinite number of infinite vectors shining forth from that singularity, and the third is the cosmic dance of the universe itself. Within this higher dimensional geometric state, we can think of ourselves as rings on a sphere, each of us as a distinct ring on the same higher dimensional sphere of the universal consciousness. A ring on that sphere of universal consciousness serves as the seed for individual consciousness. In his book, The Future Evolution of Man, Sri Aurobindo tells us, "The evolutionary working of nature has a double process, an evolution of forms and evolution of the soul. Man occupies the crest of the evolutionary wave. With him occurs the passage from an unconscious to a conscious evolution. The nature of the next step is indicated by the deep aspirations awakening in the human race."